Yes, welcome back. 26 minutes past 8 a.m. Good morning. This is where the nation's biggest conversations begin.
And yes, South Sudanese multimedia journalist, blogger and media trainer and fact checker Garang Abraham Malek has won the second prize in the D4D blogging competition organized by the African Union and European Union Digital for Development Hub project.
Well, Malek's blog, To Win the War on Disinformation, African and Europe Needs Long-Term Strategic Partnerships, builds on his experience tackling disinformation as a researcher and a media professional. Well, he joins us in the studio to speak about his journey and whatever it is that, made or warmed the hearts of those who gave him the prize. Good morning.
Good morning, Irene and Savit. Pleasure meeting you.
Good to have you here on the Miraya Breakfast Show. Congratulations on making it to the second place in this competition. How does it feel?
First, I would love to say it's really amazing to be interviewed by my fellow journalists, to be behind the mic.
Absolutely.
It really feels very great and nice as well. But to me, I think what is very vital here is being able to put South Sudan on the map beyond East Africa, beyond Africa, but putting it at the EU and the European Union map. So it's really a pleasure and it's a privilege, and I feel my country, South Sudan, is fully represented.
Right. So tell us more about the competition, when and where it did start.
Digital for Development is a hub. It's a hub initiated by AU and the EU. And so the competition has been ongoing for several years. And so every year what they do is they issue call for applications under thematic areas. Mm-hmm. So this year the purpose for the activity was to foster debate and gather original views on how Africa and Europe can work jointly to tackle disinformation in a way that do not violate human rights, especially digital rights. Mm-hmm. So this year we applied. We were 89 from 27 countries, that is both in Europe and in Africa. And I was able to submit my blog, and I didn't know it would make it to the top three.
Right.
And I was later on amazed that I was a finalist and then got myself to the second position.
Wow, from 89 applicants, you made it to the second position. That really, really is great, of course. So let's talk about disinformation here. When we talk about disinformation, what exactly do you mean?
Thank you very much, Sabit. So, to start with my blog was To Win War on Disinformation, Africa and Europe Need Long-Term Strategic Sustainable Partnerships. Mm-hmm. Disinformation, in simple terms, is it's a process of spreading misleading information. Could be fake news. Mm-hmm. It could be something that is wrong deliberately to harm somebody. Mm-hmm. For example, I can say, maybe I don't like Radio Miraya. I'll go outside there and say, Radio Miraya presents fake news.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I just don't like Radio Miraya personally. Does Radio Miraya spread fake news, which is too wrong? So I'm doing that deliberately to harm Radio Miraya.
You do it without proof.
Yes, without proof. It's just like, I don't like Radio Miraya. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't like the UN. I just, generate a content.
So basically, you're just inciting people against Radio Miraya.
Exactly.
Now, how serious is the information in the world or in South Sudan right now?
Disinformation, it's a very bad verse, and to bring it to South Sudan context, we understand in the past social media has been used to harm people. A lot of research have shown that people deliberately design content to harm maybe specific tribe, to harm maybe specific group of people, and then after I design that, present it out there as a disinformation. Here comes the problem, misinformation. Because Sabit William trusts me, because Irene Lasso trusts me, that Garang Abraham is a journalist, is someone who's legitimate, I presented maybe a content saying so-and-so is a bad person, you will share it, thinking that what I presented is something right.
Mm-hmm.
So you become an agent of misinformation, which is the biggest issue in South Sudan now. Mm-hmm. A lot of us are new to social media. A lot of us are new to online content or digital media, and we become agent of misinformation because of trust.
Right. So how then can people start to verify the information before they forward it?
It's a very technical question. So before, currently I work with BBC Media Action as a trainer, but I had worked previously with Defy Hate Now, which is an organization that counters head speech and misinformation. And under Defy Hate Now, there is a project called 2-on-1 Check, which is to fact check and verify information. Previously, we really worked hard in terms of doing radio campaigns, in terms of writing fact check explainers on different topics. It's very simple for someone listening to Radio Maria now, for you to fact check information first. When you get an information from anybody, maybe on Facebook or on Twitter, first you need to have your own analysis. Do I really trust this personality?
Right.
That is one. Number two, is this person the right source? Number three, what about this social media page? For example, is it a trusted page?
Right.
Is this information coming from Radio Maria or iRadio or from City Review? You need to trust your sources. Right. Then number two also, we need to be digitally oriented. For example, it's very important for someone that uses mobile phone to know fact-checking applications. Like Google Images is very simple.
Right.
If I get an image implicating something, I can just pick it, put it on Google Images, it will tell me it will tell me that it was taken in Nigeria, it was taken in South Africa. So we need to be very, very, very careful with any information we get online.
Right. Now, Garang, on your blog, you provide concrete recommendations on how to advance Africa and Europe cooperation in this particular area. Can you just share some examples?
Surely, yeah. So this year, thematic areas were for us to compare and contrast the similarities between Europe and Africa when it comes to disinformation. And in my blog, I was able to reflect how COVID-19 affected Europe and Africa, how misinformation and disinformation was rampant, on both continents. The other thematic area was for us to compare the mechanism and organization that counters disinformation and whether what is being done in Africa is done in Europe. And then I was able to elaborate in my blog that Europe has a disinfo lab, which counters COVID misinformation.
Yeah.
Africa, when you come to Africa, you'll find organizations like PESACHECK in Nairobi that counters disinformation. And then you'll find Africa Check in South Africa. We have 2-on-1 Check in South Sudan. We have, Fox Checking, Disinfo in Ghana. And then in Europe, there are a lot of organizations. Then, I was able to give a lot of recommendations. And first is Europe and Africa need to strengthen the capacity of this fact-checking organization. There is need to invest more money for them to recruit huge human resource, train them as well. That was one of the recommendations. Number two, though, I felt there was also need for organization in Europe and Africa, to empower the civil society. Radio, media has the platform, but you need to work with the civil society because civil society is tackling, they are the one working with, the locals, the civil majority that are affected by disinformation. Right. I also talked about the need for Europe and Africa to have one consortium, a fact-checking consortium. This consortium can help them advance the agenda. It can help them access academia. It can help them maybe have one clear agenda that they can advocate for both in Europe and Africa. Then the last recommendation, which I felt was very important, was the need to bring in the academia. Yeah,
right.
Because we need University of Juba to do research on disinformation. We need Apanal University. We need students. We need research organization to do research on disinformation. So that when Radio Maria hosts Garang Abram tomorrow, we have data, we have facts on disinformation.
Absolutely.
And the last recommendation was the need to involve the alternative media. Last year, when I was at Defy Hate, we did a research whereby we wanted to understand the gaps occupied by alternative media and mainstream media. So what we did was to bring 10 media houses, Radio Maria, iRadio, all the legitimate media houses, put them on CrowdTangle. We also brought the alternative media, Hot in Juba, Juba TV, that are most followed. And we're comparing the rate of interaction between these two platforms. And my brother, for last year, the rate of interaction on mainstream media, which includes Radio Maria, on social media, was 1.4 million. That is how Sassanese were interacting on mainstream. Shockingly, for alternative media, it was 4.3 million. The issue here comes in, a lot of alternative media, or media houses, these unregulated media houses, do not fact check the information. Before Radio Maria brings me on air, they will have to first Google who is Garang. Is he legitimate? Can't he bring head speech on air? But maybe Hot in Juba. Juba TV can just hit anything. And then I went to University of Juba and asked this, so why do you people love alternative media?
And what was the answer?
And you managed to make a laugh for checking everything.
You delay information processing.
Yeah, like you panel bait it and drop yes. something that is really mm-hmm. with alternative media, they give it raw.
And as a human nature as well, people just like gossiping.
Right.
You know, and those alternative media like to bring gossip on air and all that. Yes, Grang, let's go back to, of course, your prize. Now, tell us, what did you get as a prize?
On 28th, I'll be going to Addis. There will be the Global Internet Governance Forum.
Yeah.
I might be there, and from there I'll be able to understand what comes with this.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what I know is there is not a lot of money involved here, but there is also a networking platform.
Yeah.
There is also an opportunity to interact with digital experts globally, and then there is also that brand of like being able to write about disinformation.
Mm-hmm.
You can now be able to maybe initiate projects, ideas, and share with different
with
institutions.
The exposure that
exactly.
You have been.
Absolutely. That's more than enough than
right.
any other money that will be involved.
Mm.
Thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios. But just before you go, I'll just as a final remarks or message out there, how do we handle the issue of disinformation? How do we avoid this?
First, I think it is really very important for our stakeholders, especially the government, to prioritize digital for development. For example, there is need for institutions to initiate digital literacy programs, because for us not to become victims of dis and misinformation or malinformation, we need to be digitally oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be very important for our stakeholders, for the government. We know, there is low access to internet in this country, but it's very important to include digital literacy, in our curriculums. And then institutions as well, like big institutions, should initiate programs that empowers their employees.
Right.
For example, maybe Redeem Rai should initiate a program that exposes all employees to digital information or digital literacy. So it's tough. Institution also, like maybe donors as well, should give money to fact-checking organizations so that they're able to preach information on how people can protect themselves, because internet is coming to South Sudan. We have cyber companies now.
Yeah.
A lot of people are getting online, but the more we got online without orientation, we shall mess.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Well, Garang Abraham, thank you so much for your time.